You may have seen or heard about the new TV ads for Quiznos subs. Instead of showcasing sandwiches or happy customers, the spots feature an unpolished animation of two floating mammals with bulging eyes who declare their love for Quiznos in a screeching song.
Those are a dollar off, 23 left to burn. For 6 to eat all your changes, hold only rise up for him.
As millions of teens, college students, and procrastinating office workers can tell you, those are the Sponge Monkeys, a creation of the online animation site RatherGood.com. The TV commercial's bizarre creatures began life with an amateur ode to the moon.
We like the moon, 'cause it is close to us.
Same tune. This amateur website could make it from an idiosyncratic internet destination to the spokes images of a national sandwich chain. Says a lot about the state of online animation. The sites are exploding in popularity among younger viewers, but those of a different generation may not get the joke. Dwight Silverman is online news editor for the Houston Chronicle, and he joins us now from the paper for a guide to the weird and wacky world of online animation. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So how did you start to learn about these sites?
Well, I have two daughters, 12 and 16. Both of them trade these animations or links to them with their friends. And, you know, I'd say at least once a day I get, "Come here, Daddy," and I have to come over and look at these things.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hilarious. They've been trading these, I'd say, for the past 2 or 3 years. And over time, they've just gotten better and better. And obviously now they've exploded into the mainstream.
And how did your daughter start hearing about them?
From their friends. You know, it's essentially they are viral entertainment through instant messaging, email, just surfing the web. You know, kids in this generation who have grown up with the internet, this is how they communicate and this is how they share things. And it really says as much about that generation as it does the animations themselves.
Now, you said an interesting expression there, trading them. These are things you can download and email to other people.
In some cases, a lot of times, unless you have a really fast internet connection, cable modem or DSL, that's a little difficult to do. But more and more people do have them, which also explains the growing popularity of it. You can always just send a link to a site that hosts it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, sometimes people create or get large collections of these on their own computers.
And this is something called, it derives from something called Flash animation?
Right. The term Flash comes from the program that's most often used to make them. It's a product made by Macromedia, and in fact, if you go to macromedia.com, you can download a trial version and play around with it yourself. But what it has done, essentially, it has made animation relatively simple, and it's simple, but it's also very sophisticated. Flash is used actually for a couple of television cartoon series, Mucha Licha, and home movies.
So there are a lot of ways that this technology and these techniques are making it from the internet onto more mainstream media.
Right. This is the popularity of them has not escaped commercial broadcasters and cable networks, and they are using them more and more. Witness the Quiznos ads. You know, obviously, if those Sponge Monkeys were not popular, Quiznos wouldn't have grabbed something that bizarre.
Well, give us some sites you can recommend. Give us a tour.
All right. Well, my favorite Flash animation is actually a fairly old one, and you can find it at theflasharchive.com. It's called The End of the World. The End of the World is essentially two guys doing some kind of strange accent while they scribble pictures of what will happen when the United States decides that those Chinese SOBs are going down. And the U.S. launches missiles, the Chinese respond, everybody else launches their missiles, except for a handful of countries. The French don't want to launch missiles because, as one of them says, "But I am retired."
And that's become a particularly popular phrase in
that's right.
middle
My
school
kids,
today.
All their friends at school walk around going, "But I am retired." there is, in the end, of course, everybody blows up except for California, which detaches from the rest of the country and floats off to hang with Hawaii, and Alaska can come too. That's kind of how it ends. And it's you know, it's very rough. It's also kind of rough in terms of language, so it's not necessarily for little kids, but it's very funny. It's good storytelling. It's a good series of jokes. The timing is good. It has all the elements of a funny movie or cartoon.
If you'd like to join our conversation, 800-989-8255. And our first caller is Todd, who's with us from Miami, Florida.
Hi there.
Hi there.
How are you?
Very well, thanks.
I was just curious when I heard you were going to bring this segment on. I founded Quiznos in, back in Denver, Colorado, 1982, and been watching the ads, sold the company, or most of it, in 91, around in there.
Mm-hmm.
And
what do you think?
Well, it's memorable, that's for sure. It's a little bizarre. It was they're using that the new, I guess, genre, the Aflac type thing, memorable, and the Geico, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
to try to embed the name. And I think it's doing very well. I'm more apt to do something more appetizing. It can be cute and clever, but it has to go with food. It has to make people hungry and run in and get a sandwich. You know.
Your name is Todd Dissner, is that
yes.
right? Yeah. Can you imagine the board meeting of the people to whom you sold most of Quiznos to sitting around watching this and saying, boy, yep, that's it. We're going with that.
Yeah, that's I'd often wonder how they all, there was a general consensus and everybody's nodding their head positively. You know, it's once again, you're selling food here, not insurance or something like that. So
mm-hmm.
it would
drive. Well, also, there's a very good chance that some of those board members' kids recognized it, and that may have been the cue for it, because obviously Quiznos is going after an audience that eats a lot of fast food, which is younger people.
Right, right. They kind of remind me of Gremlins. They have a little dark side to them. I don't know. I'm kind of would like to do the upside, the bright side.
Well, if you have not seen the original at rathergood.com, you should go see it. It actually makes much more sense, such as it is, such as it can, with those creatures when you see the original, which is called We Love the Moon.
I have to say that, you know, Todd is in some sense right. For those of us over 40, they might as well be singing in Aramaic.
Yeah, I'm not with it. they've done a terrific job since they bought the company, obviously. There's over 2,300 Quiznos all over the place, and the food and the look is still very, I'm very proud of it. I just can't quite warm up to that type of ad yet.
Todd, thanks very much for the call.
You bet. Thank you, Neil.
Appreciate it. And by the way, as we mentioned these websites, if you go to our website at npr.org and go to the Talk of the Nation page, we'll have links to all of the internet animation sites that we're mentioning. And there are many of them, are there not, Dwight?
Yes, and it's, as I said, it's been around for quite a while. It has kind of matured at this point. Probably the best-known one from a few years back was one called All Your Base Are Belong to Us. And this came from a video game that had been badly translated from Japanese. And the phrase All Your Base Are Belong to Us was an alien telling the humans that now we've conquered you. And they took this phrase and developed it with a catchy disco beat, and using Photoshop, imaged the phrase, all your base are belong to us, on all kinds of things, movie marquees, on the side of Air Force One, and on the Budweiser girls, if you remember the Budweiser girls from
sure.
the time. And these images just rotated through rapidly with this disco beat, and this became probably the first really big flash animation that kids traded. This was about, I'd say, probably about 2001, early 2002.
Our guest is Dwight Silverman of the Houston Chronicle. We're talking about internet animation sites on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller in. This is Joe, who's with us from Minneapolis.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, Neil. Hi, Dwight.
Hello, Joe.
The thing that strikes me, one of the reasons that this is becoming so popular now, is you can go back and watch the same thing over and over again. You mentioned Strong Bad earlier, so I assumed at some point you guys were going to get into HomestarRunner.com.
Homestar Runner is great.
Which is sort of the reigning king of animated sites. But I don't know, Neil, if you've been there before, but I'm sure you have, Dwight. And if you can go back to the same cartoon and sort of scroll around to find these hidden links, which are called Easter eggs, And if you find those, you can find sometimes an entirely different animation within an animation, or sometimes it's just a little pop up. Sometimes it's just a little a joke within a joke. But
yeah, Homestar Runner is probably the closest thing the web has now to an episodic hit show. They change it every week, and the most popular part is an area called Strong Bad's Email. It's this Mexican wrestler-type character with kind of an indiscriminate accent who types in his email, and what you see initially is him reading the email and then typing an answer, and then it kind of dissolves into a little sketch. And
just by coincidence, we happen to have a clip of a Strong Bad answering his email in a recent installment from Homestar Runner.
Hey, Strong Bad. Dude, I was just thinking and wondering, what it would be like if you weren't the stylish, buff, handsome man in a wrestling mask that you are. Your devoted fan, Jordan. So you mean like, what would it be like if I was an ugly, dumpy guy with a beer belly and a comb over? I'd still probably be the coolest guy in the world. Just a different kind of cool. More of a, I'm so cool, you don't even know I'm cool kind of cool.
Joe, I guess we're going to expect to be seeing him on a Cartoon Network series.
Well, you know, these guys have been approached, apparently, by Cartoon Networks and that sort of thing. And I think they'll really lose something if they go to do that, because you won't have that ability to interact with the animation. I think that's really one of the things that makes this a unique art form.
Hmm. Although there is one show that coincidentally also uses people in Mexican wrestling masks called Mucha Lucha, that where you can go to their website and design a wrestler, and the winning design shows up in the show about a week later. So there are ways to do interactivity. One of the benefits of using Flash, which works in the computer environment and then can also be ported over to broadcast.
Joe, thanks very much. Sounds like you've got some other business to take care of there.
Well, I've got a little Homestar of my own here.
Okay. Catch him before he goes running away.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Let's go now to Simon, and Simon's with us from Northampton, Massachusetts.
Hey, I'm a big fan of the Homestar Runner site, and I do agree that it is the reigning king. But the creators are the two people known as the Brother Chaps. And I'm wondering if anybody really knows who they are, because the only way I know how to contact them is to email this character of theirs, Strong Bad, and they haven't given out their names, and I'm wondering if anybody knows really who they are.
Are the names protected to protect the innocent, Dwight Silverman?
Well, they have been actually very cagey about talking to folks. They are Mike and Matt Chapman is their name. They're based out of Atlanta. They've talked, I think, to Wired. If you go to wired.com, there's an interview there, but most media they tend to push off. Someone who I was talking to, another reporter who was trying to get an interview with them, says he thinks they're in heavy negotiation with a major media operation to take this to television in some way. So that's probably why they're laying low.
So, Simon, what do you like about it?
Well, I don't know. The accents are funny, and sometimes the idiocy, just how the characters will do totally stupid things.
That probably helps explain public radio, too. Simon, thanks very much for the phone call.
No problem.
Appreciate it. And, Dwight, thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Dwight Silverman is the online news editor for the Houston Chronicle, and he joined us on the phone from his office there in Houston. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.
And Pom Pom wouldn't change at all, so he'd look like an NBA basketball. 2, 3, 4. And this little weirdo would be a modestly hot girl to help me through the hard times. You know, the kind that are only sort of hot, so they don't mess around with other guys.